Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. They say it is easier to preach 10 sermons than to try to live one of them. I totally agree. I get nervous putting together a sermon because I know in God's economy, God is inviting me to stretch. So each Sunday, we are called to stretch. And this Sunday, our theme in particular is a wonderful invitation. Each Sunday in Lent, you have received a card with a theme on it, and we have banners announcing that theme, and today it is a new heart. And it comes from the first reading in Jeremiah. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And then in the psalm that we sung after that first reading, the 11th verse is the prayer starter on the back of the card. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So we are invited to a new heart, to a transformation of our hearts. And in Jeremiah, we hear that it's a law on our hearts that God has put. What is this law? I believe it is the law of love lived in Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus, we find somebody who loved and loved and loved. And then he loved some more. Even on the cross, he loved and forgave his executioners. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So in Jesus, we have the revelation of the infinite mystery of what love is all about. And we are called to enter that mystery. We are called to be stretched, to be transformed. And it happens each day by the presence of God's love within you. In the gospel, we hear where the rubber meets the road in regards to how we live love. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears fruit. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant also be. So there is a difference between saying you are a Christian and being a disciple. A disciple of Jesus is willing to be transformed by love. I'm sure you've heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a German pastor who opposed Hitler. The Nazis arrested him in 1943 and executed him in 1945. But before his death, he wrote a book, The Cost of Discipleship. And he says this, when Christ calls us, he bids us to come and die. It may be a death like that of the first disciples who had to leave home and work to follow him. Or it may be a death like Luther's, who had to leave the monastery and go out into the world. But it is the same death every time. Death in Jesus. The death of the old person to follow his call. That's pretty dramatic. But the invitation is the death of the old person. Even though that old person who we are right now is not bad at all. We're good people. But God is always inviting us to love a little more. to stretch a little more, to grow in who we are as a disciple a little more. We have witnesses to this journey, to how to be a disciple. Every Wednesday in our chapel at 12:10, we have a Eucharist. We have communion every Wednesday. And every Wednesday, the readings are based on who the saint or holy person is for that day. So we learn a lot about our witnesses by these Wednesdays. So this past Wednesday was Saint Cyril of Jerusalem. Cyril was born in 315. The Council of Nicaea was 325. And he became Bishop of Jerusalem in 349. So he became bishop when the Nicene Creed had already been settled. And the Nicene Creed was developed by the bishops at the council to deal with heresies. And one of the heresies that was going on in the 4th century, that had been going on leading up a long time before the Council of Nicaea, was the heresy of Arianism, that Jesus is pretty good, but no way is he equal to God, said Arius. At the Council of Nicaea, they argued and argued it out. And what happened was that the passage in the Gospel of John, when Thomas comes back into the room and Jesus now appears and invites Thomas to come forward and to check out his hands and his side and the wounds from the crucifixion, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." The first time someone brings the two together. And so in the Council of Nicaea, it was decided Jesus is equal to the Father, of one substance with the Father. But if you feel strongly about something and you leave a meeting, the chances are you might not totally be on that side, but you don't say anything because you lost and they won. So some people who left the Council of Nicaea, namely those who were still in the camp of Arianism, were still strong in the church. So eventually Cyril becomes Bishop of Jerusalem. And he, to me, is an example of working through who Jesus is for you, because he takes on being bishop, but three times he deals with where he is in this stance, and he's pushed out of office three different times. Three times he's exiled from being bishop. Finally, he decides Jesus is equal with the Father. He had tried to soften it so there wouldn't be division, and in doing that, it didn't work. So he finally took a stand. And when the Council of Constantinople met in 381, he said, "Yes, Jesus is one with the Father." So we have in Cyril someone who allowed his journey in love to be transformed. And it wasn't easy. He publicly was dismissed, publicly came back, and worked it out publicly. We often have the luxury of working out our issues privately or with a few close friends. But all of us are called to allow God to create in us a new heart, a clean heart, and to grow in our relationship of who is Jesus to you. How are you becoming that disciple that follows him, that shows up, and lets the heart of Jesus use your heart? Well, in getting ready for this sermon today, I needed a break. So in my office, I decided it was time to go through a pile that I hadn't looked at in 2 months. And I was hoping there was nothing critical in this pile. So I began going through page after page after page, and I found a whole page that are poetic statements on "Create in me a clean heart." And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." And so I was thinking, okay, I'll take some of these out. And I said, no, the whole thing needs to be shared, because I don't know what will touch you. So I will read this now as a meditation. And I invite you to listen carefully. What word or phrase touches you as you hear these poetic statements? And know, in God's economy, that is the Spirit working in your heart, and let it go deep. Create in me a clean heart, open and receptive, so that I may embrace the many ways you choose to visit my life. Create in me a clean heart, cleared of the refuse of old battles with others and deadly opposition with myself. Create in me a clean heart, purified through the daily disruptions and the life encounters that take me beyond my grasping control and ego-centeredness. Create in me a clean heart, freed from the clutter of cultural enticements, so that I can enjoy the beauty of life's simple things and relish the gifts I easily take for granted. Create in me a clean heart, bathed from harsh thoughts, shame, and perfectionist tendencies, warmly welcoming others with the embrace of non-judgment. Create in me a clean heart, brushed free of frantic busyness, so that I may have time to dwell with you in the listening space of solitude and silence. Create in me a clean heart, rinsed of the residue of false messages about my identity, enabling my inner goodness and light to shine through all I am and do. Create in me a clean heart, cleansed of anxiety and lack of trust, restoring in me an enduring faith in your abiding presence and unconditional love. Create in me a heart scrubbed clean of prejudice, drawing me toward all as my sisters and brothers. Create in me a clean heart, washed with your mercy and strengthened by your love, helping me move beyond whatever keeps me from union with you. And finally, create a clean heart in me, God. Dust off the unmindful activity that constantly collects. Declutter my heart from harsh judgments and negativity. Wash away my resistance to working through difficult relationships. Rinse off my unloving so the beauty of my generous and kind heart can shine forth. Remove whatever keeps me from following in your compassionate footsteps. In your compassionate footsteps. In Jesus, we find somebody who loved and loved and loved and then loved some more. And on the cross, loved his executioners and forgave them. And next Sunday is Palm Sunday, when we witness and hear the capacity of Jesus' love for us. Cyril of Jerusalem is the one who gave us the liturgies of Holy Week. Here he was in Jerusalem, watching pilgrims attempt to walk the way of Christ, to be as close as they could to where Christ had walked. And he sees these pilgrims and realizes not everyone can go to Jerusalem. So he develops the liturgy of Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, the Easter Vigil, and Easter. And eventually, these liturgies are spread into Europe and around the world, and we have them 1,700 years later. Why? For us to continue to journey as close as we can in the path, in the life of Christ. So Holy Week takes on a profound invitation to allow our hearts to be transformed as we are even more attentive to what Jesus did for us. So I invite you to allow your heart to be changed. However God will be with you, let God be with you. Amen.